Welcome to another episode of The Suspendables with funny man Jungle Jim Jerome and retired NHL star Russ Cortinel.
Here's Cortinel. He scores! Cortinel speeding in!
Each week they unleash their raw, stripped-down, unfiltered opinions on all things hockey and maybe other stuff too. Who knows? Inside stories, absolutely. Outrage, guaranteed. Offside, for sure. And always plenty of laughs. Strap in. The Suspendables is coming at you right now.
Hi again, everybody. It's Jungle Jim Jerome coming at you on a bit of a tough week for the Suspendables with my buddy Russ Cortinel. We've, of course, Walter Gretzky died on March 4th. And Russ and I, of course, as you all know, have a great connection to the Gretzky family. And Russ, I know you as well as me. And to Walter, there we go, a little white claw to Walter. It's just knocked the socks off of everyone. And we thought we'd want to spend some time today talking about our experiences with Walter. And there's been an outpouring of posts and what this guy meant to people. And it's just, you know, this happens, Rusty, right? Where people die, celebrities die, and you know, you see people's reaction to it. But I've never seen so many stories from so many people that it goes beyond the normal. I met the guy; he was great, signed an autograph, and took a picture. It was just wonderful to run into him. It was always so much more that he ever did, and he was an incredible guy. Our heart goes out to everyone in the Gretzky family, all the five kids, of course, and all their wives and grandkids. There's a bunch. There's a mitt full of grandkids. And tough week, Russ.
Yeah.
You know, put it all together for us, Rusty. We want to talk about Walter for the better part of the show. And I always think when I plan these shows, I know where to go. But to be honest, I don't know where it'll take us. But you kick things off.
What I want to tell people is that I was as excited as anyone to meet Walter because of Wayne and all the stories we heard about Walter in the backyard and what, you know, just the stories and that his son became, you know, the most famous hockey player in the world. And so I met Wayne first and then I met Walter and I really got to know Walter at the 91 Canada Cup right before his aneurysm, and then spent some time with him after. And actually, that's not true. I met Walter at David Foster's charity event in Victoria, but didn't really get to spend much time with him. My brother Jeff took him fishing with the $6 million man, and. And so I didn't get to meet Walter that much at that time. But when we did spend time was in 91 Canada Cup. And then years after that, we spent time together. And I used to call Walter at his house and just ask, hey, how you doing? And this friendship grew. And of course, people who know me know that I lost my father at a young age, had a stepfather, but lost my father when I was 13. And so I have this beacon of wanting to know more about other people's fathers or older gentlemen. I just have this thing, and that I probably missed in my life, you know, growing up having lost my father. And so Walter and I had this neat relationship, and when I went on the Gretzky trip, Gretzky and friends, when we went to Europe during the 94-95 lockout, I spent a lot of time walking the streets of Europe with Walter and his friend. I can never remember.
Charlie Henry.
So yeah. Walter and Charlie and I would go for these walks. And Walter knew history like nobody's business.
Right.
And depending which city we were in, he would tell me these stories. And then I didn't know a lot about his aneurysm. And I said, Walter, do you remember going fishing with my brother and the $6 million man? And he goes, oh, my God, I do, Russ, I do. Oh, it's coming back to me now. Because after my aneurysm, I can't remember all these things. And, oh, thank you, thank you. So every day I would think of things from 91 Canada Cup. I'll never forget. I've told this story before. I'm walking down the hallway after practice in Quebec City. And out in the hallway, leaning in was Walter Gretzky, leaning in a doorway. And I said, "Hey, Walter, what's going on?" And he waved me over and he goes, "Watch this. Look what's going on here." And I look in and it's Eric Lindros in front of all the media that are there. I mean, the room was packed. Mm-hmm. And they are hammering this 18-year-old Eric Lindros because he didn't want to go to Quebec. And he was saying all these things he shouldn't have said because he didn't know. It wasn't like he was being a jerk or anything. He was 18 years old. And Walter goes, "That poor kid is on that stage all by himself. Where are his parents? Where is his agent, Russ? This is breaking my heart." And the look on Walter's face was, you know, of a kid just getting slayed by a bunch of reporters just crushing him with questions that he just didn't have the answers to at the time. And things like that, seeing Walter in the summer, seeing, you know, getting to see him here at Sherwood Country Club when he'd come out and visit, spending time with them at Gretzky's fantasy camp was amazing because he was always my coach. Like, he always was behind my bench and I loved it. And he used to bust my balls all the time and give Jeff crap. I saw some videos from, you know, like you said, people putting stuff on Instagram and pictures and videos and stuff. And Walter was an interesting, special person that had time for everyone. I was coaching at my kids at a tournament in Vancouver at Burnaby 8 Rinks, and he was there talking and signing, and he you know, he just had that beautiful smile and look on his face, and he always had Sharpies. He always had a million pens in his pocket. Right. And we used to always say, "Hey, Walter, do you have a pen?" And he'd open up his jacket and he'd have like 42 pens in his pocket.
Right.
And he goes, you guys, look at this. And he'd pre-sign. In the morning, he would sign all these Walter Gretzky little cards. And then that way he could just sign the person's name. And every morning he said he'd get up and coffee and he'd sign all these and he'd carry them around. And kids and adults would ask him for his autograph. And he'd say, "What's your name?" And he would sign their name and give them the card. And he would say, there was only one Walter and there's only one Wayne. And they're just the most beautiful, generous human beings I've ever met in my life. I love them both dearly. And I've watched Wayne's eulogy probably 10 times now. And, mm-hmm. and I just mm-hmm. bawl my eyes out every time. I mean, mm-hmm. I'm trying to hold it together now because I got all emotional last week or the week before or whatever. And I'm so lucky that I met and know them, and so is everybody else. Like, you know, you could go anywhere with Walter and people wanted to stop and talk, and he wanted to stop and talk. He mm-hmm. was interested in every single person. Where are you from? And then he would tell them a little story of where they're from, a little history or something. And probably the funniest story that Walter ever told me was, he was following Wayne around when he was going to break Gordie Howe's record. And he stopped for a bit because I think Wayne was having a tough time like scoring or something, like, mm-hmm. you know, maybe for a freaking period or something. But anyways, yeah. Wayne called Walter. And now this is Walter telling me the story. So Wayne called me and said, "You got to get out to Edmonton. I think I'm going to do it tonight or tomorrow night or whatever. And I want you there. So I got you a plane ticket. Go to Air Canada and go to the airport. And there's a ticket waiting for you there. Just come." So Walter's all excited. He gets on the plane. Wayne bought him a first class ticket. So he's sitting at the window. And there's a big front page article in the newspaper about Wayne. So he's sitting there minding his own business. This lady sits down beside him. He goes, I feel uncomfortable because he's got me a first class ticket. I really should be flying economy because right. Walter didn't like that stuff. And so he goes, I'm minding my own business. The lady asks us if we want anything, the stewardess or the flight attendant. And then the lady said, hi, how are you? And he said, fine, how are you? And he said, what are you doing? She goes, oh, I'm going out on business to Edmonton or Vancouver or something. He goes, she flips the paper over and goes, can you believe all the fuss over this hockey player, Wayne Gretzky? Right. I can't believe it. He's not that good, and goes on and on, bashes him for like 5 minutes. And Walter's looking at her and she goes, and what are you doing, sir? What are you? He said, well, I'm going to Edmonton. That's my son.
Oh, yeah.
And I'm going to see him break the all-time scoring record.
Yeah.
He goes, I turned my back on her. She turned her back on me, and we didn't speak the rest of the trip.
That's true.
Anyways, I know you've got a million things you want to say about Walter. He's just a great, great guy.
Yeah, to kind of break it down, you know, if to try and bring people into his world, you know, and I was thinking about it today, you know, we're going to do the podcast. How can I explain to people what the guy was really like, you know?
Yeah.
And there's many, many sides to him. I knew him mostly after his aneurysm. Mm-hmm. I moved out here in 1985, and that's where I met Wayne. He was the first guy to reach out to me and invite me to play golf. And then shortly after that, I would have met his dad, and Wayne phoned me and said, his brother Glenn, who is as dear a friend of mine as anybody,
yeah,
moved out in high school.
I'm laughing because I know the story.
Yeah. So Glenn came out here in high school, and he moved in with Wayne, which was a natural.
Yeah.
Until about 3 weeks after that, I got a call from Gratz going, my brother is moving in with you.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. And so he did. And so Glenn and I lived together, starting right when, because I know his dad got the aneurysm when Glenn was my roommate, Glenn Gretzky, of course. And he was, we were running for our lives, Glenn and I, back then, you know. And I was worse off than Glenn. I was a maniac back then. And Glennie was a lot more put together than I was. And, but we had a riot, you know, they were kind of simple times back then. And what was really, kind of cool is then, you know, Walter came through that aneurysm. He was supposed to die. Yeah. He didn't, nobody knew what he was going to be like, after it, what, you know, how much brain damage was there from it. You know, it was just such a long and horrific drawn out process for the family to try and see what, you know, where this is all going to suss out for Walter, mm-hmm, physically and mentally. And then he started coming to town a lot more, to Edmonton, of course. And, before, you know, so you're talking 87, you know, before Wayne got traded, and he used to come up to me and, cause Walter's favorite word, there's no doubt in my mind that Walter's favorite word was thank you, mm-hmm, you know, and just all the time, the time. He never said a bad word about anyone. He never judged anyone. He never succumbed to rumors, to gossip, to innuendo. You know, he was angelic, you know. You hate to say it, but this aneurysm turned this guy into just an unbelievable human being.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, Rush, you and I both know he was so humble.
Yeah.
So humble. He hated spending a dollar on anything. And his, you know, his son was the most successful person in the world. He could do anything to look after him. Well, I mean, the biggest story is he kept that house.
Yeah.
Okay. That house is a thousand years.
Oh, but when Wayne bought him a car.
Yeah.
Do you know that story?
No. No,
so,
I don't.
So Walter had this old station wagon that he loved.
Yeah.
And Wayne thought that, you know, it'd be nice to buy him a new car when he first started playing. So Wayne came home, bought him a brand new Cadillac and traded in the station wagon. And Walter freaking lost it and said, where's my car? Right. Well, I remember that. Right there. That blue, I don't know what color it was, big Cadillac. And he goes, are you kidding me? I can't take that to work. Get my car back.
Yeah.
And Wayne, I don't know if this part's true, but I'm sure Wayne told me that he had to go back and buy the station wagon back from the guy. And that's Walter. He just didn't want to, show off, you know, he didn't want to show anything. Like he didn't. Right. He was so proud of Wayne and his kids and would show all the, we've all heard the stories of, you know, bringing kids into the house and showing them the, like off the street. Keith Jones said last night on Hockey Night, on the TV, he goes, my dad took me in front of Wayne Gretzky's house and he goes, that's Wayne Gretzky's parents' house. That's where he grew up. That's where the rink was. And Walter came outside and waved them in as a child. And Keith Jones went in there and goes, I'll never forget it. And heard all the stories. And so for Wayne to buy him this car was a big deal for Wayne. Yep. And thought, you know, oh my gosh, I finally can buy my parents something. And he did that. And his dad was so pissed off. Right. And I'm trying to, so we don't get all emotional, I'm trying to bring up some fun stuff. But
it's great.
But Walter would, you know, he wanted conversation. He wanted to know about you. He wanted to know about your family. He wanted to know where you're from. And he wanted to just talk and have a great conversation back and forth. And he wanted to give people as much as he could possibly give. And Wayne tells the joke about signing the golf balls and stuff.
Yeah.
And you know what? Walter would go in the bushes here at Sherwood and do the exact same thing and come out with his shirt untucked. And we'd be playing. He'd come out
like
of the bushes and a basket of balls in his brand new shirt that Wayne had just given him.
Well, he couldn't. you know what did happen to him is he had this obsession with not letting anything go to waste. You know, backing up when you're talking about the car. He was so humble, you know, he lived and died in the house at 42 Variety is the famous address.
Yeah.
He had no part of Wayne saying, maybe we can get you guys a nicer place.
Yeah.
We can, you know, no deal. Very humble, very humble house.
No.
They stuffed a pool. They jammed a pool in between the fence and the back sliding door. They put a little addition on and stuff like that. But the other thing was when he would show up to events, say on the road, you know, in his day that he was tireless with traveling to charity stuff all over the country, all over the world.
Yeah.
And eventually, you know, a few years ago, they had to slow that down, of course, with his Parkinson's. But he would come to Las Vegas where Wayne had his fantasy camp for many years in a row.
Yeah.
Okay. And if anyone should be looked after, it should be his father. Okay. For at this thing, because he's, you know, he's elderly. He's as busy as Wayne. He's as popular as Wayne when he's in the same room. And Walter would, you know, Wayne would say, I got you a nice suite, Dad, you know, at the Bellagio. And Walter would go, why? Right? I was there. He goes, I'm not staying in a suite. Well, Dad, okay, no suite. I'll get your own room. No. That's a waste of money. Me and Charlie are going to room together. Right? Yeah. And I'm like, Walter, take a little here, pal. You know, you deserve a lot, you know, but so he just, that's the way he was. He hated luxury.
So Wayne built and Janet built this beautiful house at Sherwood, and they spent a lot of time, a lot of money doing it, and they sold it, and then they since bought it back. But the first week or so that they moved in, Walter came down to see the house, you know, see the family. And he goes, Russ, I got this house. He goes, this house. He said, I got up at 3 o'clock in the morning to go to the bathroom. It took me 3 hours to find my room.
He was uncomfortable with it.
Yeah.
He was uncomfortable with luxury.
Oh,
you know?
My gosh. And the food, remember at the fantasy camp. So I think I went 12 years in a row, and the last two I was in Hawaii, so I couldn't go. So it was 14 years, correct? 14?
Yeah, well, something 15 like that. Total.
I 15, mean, so I went 13 years then, because I missed the last two. And Walter was there every year, and the buffet, he would just shake his head. He goes, oh my God, look at all this food. And I finally had to tell him, look, our friend runs the hotel, Randy Morton, and he's promised that he'll give the food to, you know, to shelters and this and that. Yeah, because he just couldn't believe, like, he was just worried about waste, like you said. He just didn't want to waste anything.
No.
And gosh, you know, being the father of Wayne and having, like you said, access to anything he could want if he... If he had asked Wayne for whatever, Wayne would have given it to him, I'm sure. And he only wanted him to sign golf balls and hockey cards and pictures. And that's all he... I mean, maybe he's asked for Wayne for something, but I bet you anything, he's never asked him for any monetary thing at all.
No. I was on an elevator with him in Las Vegas. And... We jumped on. I go to bed a lot earlier than you guys these years. I never did. And we were on there, and Walter were chatting, and I can see this. He's got something in his pants pocket. Okay, yeah. Like it's you know, it's stuffed out. It's the side of his pants or something in there. And I go, Walter, what do you got going there, right?
Yeah.
And he reaches in and pulls out a paper napkin that he's all unfolded, and he unwraps it, okay? Mm-hmm. And it's like seven shrimp that he got from the buffet, right? And I'm going, he goes, well, they're just going to throw it out.
Yeah.
You know, it's a waste. You know,
have a snack later.
He wasn't trying to steal anything. He says, he caught the guy before he dumped it in the garbage can.
Give me some of those.
Yeah.
So, and Walter probably brought the napkin back the next day.
That's right. Yeah, that's right.
And I took this yesterday, and I'm returning it.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
You know, absolutely. There's kind of three sides to Walter. You know, what he meant to his family, and what he meant to friends, and then what he meant to people who never met him, mm-hmm. people who only knew him through the media, people who only knew him through stories. And we've all heard stories of people talking about their idols or their heroes, and I just want to read a couple of things to you, Rusty, and then I got to tell you the story. Before I do that, with Glenn, my roommate, we went to pick Walter up at the airport, and I was just a wreck all the time, you know. And Walter would never say anything bad about anyone, and he came up to me, pulled me aside, he goes, "I want to talk to you, Jimmy," and I said, "Sure, Walter." He goes, "Listen." We Phyllis and I can't thank you enough for what you're doing for Glenn.
Oh, Jesus.
And I sort of looked up and went, okay, is this a joke?
Yeah.
Am I on candid camera? And he said, you know, it's just without you, you know, Glenn wouldn't. And I'm like, listen, without Glenn, okay, I would be dead sometimes, okay, if it wasn't for Glenn.
Yeah.
And but that's the way he was, you know. And, of course, I never let on Russ. I said, well, absolutely, Walter.
Yeah, of course.
No problem.
Take credit when credit's not due.
Yeah, exactly. So someone asked me if I could, you know, how could I sum the guy up, you know, and I said, well, it's unfair unless you've got a solid 10 minutes here, okay, that I would want to talk to you. But if I had to do it in a paragraph, I wrote this and put it on Twitter, and I sent it to Wayne, and if, you know, people are wondering about Wayne, I've had a lot of communication with him, texting back and forth and phone calls. And what made Wayne amazing to me when I saw a clip of the eulogy that he did, I knew this service was on, but to be honest, I didn't watch it intentionally. I couldn't bring myself to do it at that time, but I'll go back and look at it. What really made Wayne amazing is when he stood up there. This is kind of the last minute that I saw a clip of him starting with the golf ball story. But just before he said that, he went, all of us, meaning the world, are hurting.
Mm-hmm.
And for a son who just lost his father, to recognize that, you know, to have the resolve to speak to the, the public when mm-hmm. when really it's a, you know, it's a private matter, and yet they decided to do this thing and bring it to the world. I just thought it was exceptional, and Wayne would have been the person and his brothers and sisters to try and decide what to do about it, how to memorialize Walter. But I just thought that was amazing. So if I had to wrap him up in a paragraph or one sentence, I would say this. You read all the posts about Walter and how everybody came away so happy because he did something extra along with signing an autograph or taking a picture. Then he had a brain aneurysm and spent every day the rest of his life doing charity work. And that's true.
Mm-hmm.
That's it's not an exaggeration. That is not an embellishment going, well, not every day. I'm telling you, every single day he did something as an act of kindness for someone else.
Yeah.
And quite often all day long. If you were sitting on an airplane, Russ, or I was, and if my hero was Arnold Palmer, okay. And the guy sitting beside me, if I didn't know him, if he turned to me and said, "Hey, are you a golf fan?" You know, and I said, "Yeah." And he'd say, "Listen, when we land, how would you like to meet my uncle, Arnold Palmer?" Well, you'd go crazy.
Yeah.
You'd go crazy. So Walter did that before any kid ever had to ask him about anything. He'd see kids. I played in three or four golf tournaments where we were in the same group. And there's all, you know, the fans are out there. And when he came to the tee, most guys are sort of shy away. It's just too busy. I'd have to take a million pictures. Now, he wouldn't go to the tee. He'd go right to the back of the ropes and say, "Hey, how about I give you this here? How about I get a picture for you? How about I do this?" It took 7 hours to play golf with him, you know, because he did so much. But he always was the guy who initiated any of it, you know. Yeah. And God, if he wasn't taking the time, and not just taking the time, he would say, "What's your name?" You know, so the kid was there. He'd say, "My name's Kevin." He'd go, "Hey, do you have any brothers and sisters?" Right? And I'm going, "Wally, you know what? You're going to hit a home run here if you just give this kid an autograph." Okay. "No, do you have any brothers and sisters?" "Yeah, what are their names?" "Okay, Christy." Right? "Sign that. Where's your mom and dad? Are they here? Get them over here." Okay. "Get them over here." And then there'd be some nice couple, right? And Walter would, you know, see the wife and the husband, and he'd say to the wife, you know, "Oh, what a difference a day made." He'd sing a song, you know. He'd sing a song. He'd hug the husband and the couple, and he'd say, "You got great kids." All the time, all the time. The guy was a maniac with kindness, you know.
Yeah, he was. I told Wayne, I text him, and we've been texting back and forth, and I said, "Your dad's a saint," and I mean that. His dad's a saint. Like, he's a real. Yeah.
Yep. There was a great animated photo that I got from Wayne today that someone drew a picture of Walter, a cartoon caricature of Walter. And I'll put it on my Twitter, folks, later today, and I'll put it on our Facebook page. So it's Walter standing there in a cloud.
Oh, in heaven?
In heaven.
Yeah.
Standing on a cloud, flooding a rink.
Yeah, I saw that.
Yeah, and he's looking down.
That's so good.
The guy didn't remember, and there's wings on him.
Yeah.
You know, he's got the angel wings. I want to read some other comments from people. I said he was like the three H's to me, Russ. You know, he also had a very good sense of humor.
Oh, yeah.
Unbelievable sense.
Oh my God, he busted my balls constantly.
Yeah, there was a clip of you during the fantasy camp.
Yeah,
and I invite you folks to go find clips on YouTube of Walter, and you'll get an idea of what this fantasy camp was with a bunch of superstar NHLers like yourself, Russ, and playing with muckers. You know, guys who had too much money to. And he's giving you the business. You're sitting on the bench. He's going, "Touch the puck, Cardinal. Get out there. Why don't you do something?" And you turn and say, "It was probably you," because Walter was a huge Toronto Maple Leaf fan, okay? And he kept season's tickets, right?
Yeah.
Right until maybe a couple of years ago. And he, you know, Brantford's no quick drive to Maple Leaf Gardens or the Air Canada Centre. And he went to a bunch of games. And then you turned and said, That was probably you booing me when I didn't do something, when I played for the Leafs.
Yeah.
And you said, let me hear your boo. Well, he just about knocked your doors off. He's going, yeah. It's anyway, it's very funny, and you'll get an eye. Walter's coaching this.
He always coached our team. It was great.
Yeah, it was unreal.
Jeff and I played on that team. It was you. Yeah, I mean, you were there, but Charlie and Walter were always our coaches, and God, it was so funny the stuff he would say.
Yeah. Well, you had a great sense of humor.
Oh, my God.
So the other thing that people don't know, before the phones came along, he was a fanatic picture taker with cameras. He took photos all day long. You know, he was excited to be at the All-Star game, as I was the first time I got invited to an All-Star game was in St. Louis, the year Janet and Wayne got engaged.
Mm-hmm.
And so I went down to the All-Star game at for the week. There were about 72,000 Oilers on the All-Star team.
Yeah, exactly. They were calling guys up from the minors. They made it.
Yeah. Yeah. Slats was the coach.
Yeah.
Because I remember going to, so they had an engagement party for Janet. She's from St. Louis, by the way. And they had this engagement party at Janet's mother's house. And Mess had phoned me. He was the guy who phoned me. He said, come on down. You got a spot here. Because no one from his family, you get to bring a guest to the All-Star game. So Gretz phones me, go get my tuxedo. You're going to need one for the bye. I said, this is getting better all the time.
Yeah.
And, you know, it was like Wayne Gretzky, Grant Fuhr, Mark Messier, Yari Curry, Paul Coffey.
Glenn Anderson, Grant Fuhr.
Yeah.
Annie Moog.
Yeah.
Backup goalie was in there.
Yeah. And anyway, Walter was there. Kevin Lowe, yeah. Walter was there. And taking pictures, okay? So he's snapping pictures, and we had a riot. And then I didn't see him again for, I don't know, about a year and a half, okay? I ran into him in Edmonton 18 months later, let's call it, for sure, maybe longer. He said, Jimmy, I got this for you. He reached into the breast pocket of his suit coat and pulled out a picture he took of me a year and a half before. He was saving it, you know?
Yeah.
Like he... Yeah. Anyway...
That's great.
I also said that everyone came away happy after meeting Walter with incredible stories, and I said that I only wish that everybody in the world could have met him, you know, mm-hmm. that I can be like that guy.
Yeah.
You know, that aspire to be like him and is incredible. So let me read a couple of things, Russ. So this is from people who. Were expressing their thoughts about what Walter meant to them, but would never met him and probably never would, okay? But mm-hmm. but sort of grew up with this guy. This guy's 47 years old, for example, so he would have known the whole Gretzky thing from the mid-80s, you know?
Mm-hmm.
He says, hi, guys. This is to the Suspendables. By the way, if you want to reach out to us, we'd love to hear your comments. Thesuspendables.com. You can contact us through there. Or at our email. No. I'm supposed to remember.
Jesus.
We're going to get fired one day. The guy's going to go,
oh.
Stevie, what's our email? What's our email?
91 shows.
Anyway, I'm just pulling your leg. It's thesuspendables@yahoo.com. And we love to get back to you. So here's from a guy who knew all about Walter, like many of you did in Canada and around the world. Hi, guys. Such a sad moment in hockey. I'm 47 and have never lost a close member of my family except for my wife's grandma 2 years ago. My point is this. At my age, grieving the loss of life has been different. Most recently, it's been the loss of Gord Downie, Arnold Palmer, Gordie Howe, and now Walter Gretzky. I've cried deeply for each of these beautiful, influential, and incredible role models in my life. Just as an immediate member of my family, my heart feels empty. My love goes to their families, and I want the universe to know that they shaped my life. Rest in peace, Walter. You know.
And, wow.
I just thought that was
God
a really good idea of the impact of the punch that these people have and the effect they have on people's lives. You know, like someone like Walter. Here's another one, Russ. Hi, boys, and thanks a lot, everyone, for all your kind words, Rusty. It must be because of me, Russ, really, that they like the podcast so much.
Yeah.
Hey, boys, I love the podcast. Jimmy, I met you a few times back in Ottawa in your radio days. I worked at Local Heroes for 12 years. I'm pretty sure I drove you home a number of times.
Oh, my God.
Local Heroes was the name of a bar. For sure, he's right.
You got to substitute radio days to raging days.
Yeah, raging blurry days, and drove you home on more than one occasion. I think you knew my uncle. Anyways, boys, I just wanted to share a Walter Gretzky story. Years ago, my now late uncle was in Florida with my aunt, and they had numerous golf rounds booked. One morning, my aunt didn't feel great, possibly hungover. So my uncle called the course to say he's just going to be a single. No problem, they say. There's a threesome right around the same time you're supposed to tee off, and we'll put you with them. He gets to the course, and Walter Gretzky is in the group that he gets to join. My uncle knew who he was, but wasn't going to say anything unless it came up. They share a cart, and on the final hole, Walter says, "Do you have any kids?" My uncle replies, "Yes, I do. Two boys. My youngest actually played hockey in Germany for a bunch of years, and he still coaches over there now." Walter replies, "Oh, nice. My boys used to play hockey, too." My boys used to play, too. "But they don't play anymore." Laugh out loud. My uncle said he was the greatest guy the entire round, and that was the only time hockey ever came up. So, cheers, boys. Keep up the great work. You know, folks, we're back after a big edit. There's nothing I can get away with, Rusty, with you. You can smell danger, Rusty. You know that? You've got this sense, like this spidey sense of there's something wrong going on here. And I'll tell you when I knew that you were that guy. When I was supposed to be sober, okay, not drinking. And I was the fantasy camp was in Los Angeles one year. And anyway, everyone's like, I pat me on the back. Way to go, Jimmy. I'm so proud of you and everything. And I'm woofing coffee back like nobody's business. But I got it laced with Zambuca. Okay. And I'm going, this is okay. Yeah, sure. I'll take you. Yeah, I'm sober. And then I feel a tap on my shoulder. And you go, "Jimmy, not so much, huh?"
It wasn't in Vegas. It was in Phoenix, and it was during Super Bowl. We didn't have fantasy camp for a day. We did go to Vegas for like a 24-hour trip. Right. And I don't know if you came on that.
I wouldn't know if I did.
Yeah. Oh my God, that was crazy. But I saw you and I went, and I could see you whisper in the bartender's ear, the server, and then all of a sudden you're swinging this freaking coffee and Bailey's around like it's, you know,
I was just right. Not so much, eh, Jim?
Yeah, not
what,
so
what,
much.
Russ? I knew exactly what you meant.
I didn't want to, I wanted you to know that I knew, but I didn't want anyone else to know. And I was just trying to be your friend.
Yeah, you were cool.
So. As much as I bust your balls, I do truly love you.
I know you do, man. I know you do. I love you. Jeff Walsh. Thanks, Jeff, for listening. He says, "Hey, guys, I'm sure you will be in touch with the Gretzky family with the passing of Walter. Please forward the deepest condolences from all of the listeners of the show. Many stories of Walter have been shared on the show, which made us love him even more. He will be missed, but never forgotten because of the memories you guys all have. Please continue sharing your memories, of Walter with us all. God bless Walter." Which is cool, you know, that so many people have sent me messages saying, would you please pass on condolences to the family? And normally you might go, well, that's a bit of a stretch, right? I mean, this family lives in a bubble, right, about it. But that's what he meant to people, you know. And I call him the three H's, you know. He was humorous, he was humble, and he was heroic. Mm-hmm. You know, at the same time, and I've got just fantastic memories of Walter, and I did a little video clip of my talking last week saying I can't wait to sit down with Russ this week which is now, of course, and talk about the great memories, you know, mm-hmm. of Walter. And Phyllis, by the way.
Phyllis was unbelievable. And I didn't spend a lot of time with Phyllis, but during the 91 Canada Cup, I'd met Paris in 1990, and we got engaged that summer. Real quick engagement. Mm-hmm. We were allowed to bring our wives or girlfriends out to the Canada Cup. I brought Paris out, who knew Janet. Mm-hmm. She'd never seen me play hockey before until I made Team Canada, by the way.
Your wife?
Yeah. And so...
good opener. Yeah. I'm playing for the country.
Yeah. So Janet took Paris under her wing. She didn't know anybody mm-hmm. except for her and Wayne. And So they go to the Montreal Forum. They're going to the game, and Janet says, I've got Paris. I'll take care of her. And they get, I don't know if they ate before or what. Right. And Phyllis says, I have an extra ticket, because probably Walter was up and, you know, probably sat up in the media box or something. Like, I don't know where Walter went, but Phyllis goes, I have an extra seat. Why don't you come sit with me, Paris, and I'll explain the game to you, because you've never been to a game before. Or this is your second game or something like that. And so Phyllis took Paris under her wing. And of course, being with the Gretzky's, she got to go to the founders, the presidential suite with all the great food where the Molsons were like hosting everybody.
Sure.
And none of the other wives were there or girlfriends. It was just Paris and Phyllis. And Phyllis is like, here, have one of these. And then she would, she always carried candy, I guess, in her purse. And she pulled out some candy. I don't know what it was. Paris could tell us what it was. But she says, would you like some candy? And Paris has a sweet tooth. So she and Phyllis just hit it off. And she kept telling me about Phyllis Gretzky, and got to sit with her, not just one game, but multiple games. And so Phyllis, I love her for that she reached out to this girl from LA that didn't know anybody other than Janet and took her under her wing and was explaining the rules of hockey to, so Paris always tells people, I learned the game from Phyllis Gretzky. how cool is that?
What a great story.
Yeah.
So. And to give an idea of you know, the humility of the whole family, you know, including the great one, right, is all they come by that very honestly, because not only was Walter, you know, they were uncomfortable with luxury. They were uncomfortable with high-end stuff. They didn't like it. Phyllis, you know, when she'd come to town and maybe it's a big dinner or something, or, you know, we're going to sit in a box or something like that. And I'd say, Phyllis, you're all set for tonight, the big dinner? And she went, I could give a shit, Jimmy. Okay. I know how good Wayne is, but if you could do me a favor, and, you know, where I want to go play bingo, right?
Yeah.
And Phyllis was a big bingo fan. She was
the
most comfortable Phyllis was. Is a pair of jeans, running shoes, and a hockey jacket of Wayne's.
Nice.
Like, you know, from his days, and she was very much the same as Walter, you know, hated the crowd, did not like the limelight, stood in the wings all the time, you know. So here's a few more comments from people who are looking at our Suspendables Facebook page. Mike Hines, thanks, Mike. The world lost a great man. I never heard anyone speak bad of him. So true. And he never judged anyone, you know. Neil, I think it's Hiltz. Sad news indeed. He was an amazing human, a role model for everyone in this great country. Bruce Camp. Thank you, Bruce. Very sad. I loved your stories of Walter. It made me feel like I knew him. I think it's Tal Austin. My sympathies to you, Jimmy, and the Gretzky family, of course. Even for us that never had the pleasure to meet Walter, we still feel like he is a friend. Mm. Condolences to Wayne and his family. Thank you, Maureen. Condolences to the hockey world. Not bad. Hey, not bad from Trish. You've told many great stories of him, Russ and Jimmy. Sympathies to everybody, including the Gretzky family. So you know, when I got the news, of course, and folks, we knew he was dying. That came about 2 or 3 weeks prior to his death. So the family has been put through the ringer, Because it was a long vigil, right? It was 3 weeks long, I think, a bedside vigil with Walter. And he passed away on March 4th. And I, like I said, Russ, I was looking forward to this show. And I could have a five-hour show on the guy. But I certainly know what he meant to me. And he was special. And Rusty, you can wrap it up for us today.
Well, he had this beautiful laugh, you know, nasally laugh. And he just, you know, he would give you a little dig if he wanted to. He would have a heart-to-heart conversation with you. I remember, and I'm not going to say what he said to me, but at the fantasy camp, Wayne was giving out gifts. You know how he always rewarded guys like coaches and stuff?
Sure.
And I was getting emotional. As everybody knows who listens, like, I'm an emotional person, and I was getting emotional. And he put his arm around me and said the most beautiful thing.
You can tell
to
us.
To me. No, I don't want to. I don't want to tell anybody. I told my wife what he told me, and she's the first person I've ever told. But he said something to me that was so freaking beautiful, and I've never, ever forgotten it. And it's personal. It was him telling me something about me. And I said to Wayne simply, I loved and I love Walter. And I've loved that man for a long, long time, and what he did for people, I think Wayne said it best. We need more people. If the world had more people like my dad, it'd be a much better place, something along those lines. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And he's so right. Like, every community should have 10 Walters. And every community in this world would be a better place and a great place, because if we had 10 leaders like him, mm-hmm. because when you live a life like he, a selfless, you know, give, and worry about other people and worry about communities, worry about groups, worry about this, we'd all be so much better off if we just, everyone took a page out of his life and the way of life, how he was. You know, like you said, we could go on for 5 hours, because the more we talk, the more things come to mind.
Me too.
Memories. Yeah. Like when you tell a story, it reminds me of another story and on. But the listeners out there that have met him, you know what we're talking about,
right?
What a great human being he was. And the people who never got to meet him, you're learning about a great, great person. And there's so many things out there that you can go online and look, like just Google Walter Gretzky, and you're seeing these videos and testaments to what he did. And, you know, his aneurysm was in 1991, and you can't remember anything prior to that about Wayne's hockey, but things started coming back to him.
Yep.
We're going to miss him, but we're so freaking lucky that we met him and that we got to spend some time with Walter.
Right.
And we all know, and to end it, I'm just going to say the reason why Wayne Gretzky is the greatest and the best and the most gracious and giving person that I've ever met in my life is because of Walter and Phyllis.
Yeah. Of course, I'm not going to stop the show. Russ, I said it was. Okay. Well, one of the things is he just absolutely whittled down and chiseled out anything that's complicated.
Mm-hmm.
You know, any issue, he just pared all that down to the simple things. And I got to tell you and the stories are real, of course, but one of my favorites, and I've told on. Steve and I do a podcast there each day in Ottawa, and I told this story, and we got a lot of overlapping listeners for both shows. But the All-Star game was in Edmonton, and Walter was there, and Phyllis and everyone, and Wayne was taking everyone out for dinner, as he's prone to do, of course, all the time.
As usual.
Yeah, as usual, and we're all there, lucky enough to be
The golden ticket. You got
the golden ticket, baby.
To the dinner.
Don't go bad on me now, Gretz. I got nothing. Okay, you're going good, Jimmy. You're going good. Anyway, I was at a, it was, we went to a place called La Suisse here in town, Swiss food. And it was going to be fondue, everything. Okay. The main course and then chocolate fondue and all that stuff.
Cheese. I thought fondue. It was going to be Asian or sushi by the name.
Shut up. Jesus.
La Suisse. And that's Swiss, by the way.
Swiss, by the way. La Suisse. La Suisse.
La Suisse.
Well, I'm just doing it for you because you're illiterate.
Thanks. Yeah. Thanks.
I better explain this to Rotz. He failed Atlas and geography. So I'm sitting, to my left is Wayne and to my right is Walter. And Walter's looking around, okay, to give you an idea how humble he is. And there's pots of boiling oil, of course, right? Every 4 feet, right? There's about 20 of us for dinner, 10 on each side. And Walter's looking at this thing, scratching his head, too embarrassed to ask what's going on.
Yeah.
And Gretz is elbowing me, going, watch this action here, okay? He's never, he wouldn't know what this is.
Yeah,
okay?
Fine.
And he said, well, Jimmy, he's out of the side of his mouth, he goes, Jimmy, what's going on here with the food? I'm starving. I don't see, all I see are pots with flames, but I pretended I had to get up to go to the bathroom, but I just wanted to look in the pots and there's nothing in there. There's just the oil bubbling, right? And I'm going, it's cool, Walter. Okay, it's called fondue and it's really good. He goes, well, it might be really good, but are they hiding it? Okay, he was hilarious. Are they hiding the food? Gretz is
so
laughing
funny.
His head off, laughing his head off. Sure enough, they finally come out with the platters of raw meat and mushrooms, you know, and vegetables and stuff, right? And Walter, before I could get to him, they lay a plate down of raw pork, chicken, and beef.
Oh, no, don't.
And he goes, thank God, right? And he forks a piece and rifles it into his mouth.
Okay? Oh, God.
And Wayne's going bananas. And I'm going, Walter, whoa, 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 whoa. And he's chewing it. And he goes, not bad, but it's a little chewy, Jimmy, as he has his baby finger hooked in between his gum and cheek, trying to pull the shit out. And he's going, it's not bad, but it's a little underdone.
Geez.
You know what I mean? Anyway, God bless him. God bless Walter. And I will say this. I was so lucky. So lucky to know the guy. So lucky. And it certainly has been a week of tears, but wonderful memories. You know, we got to hang on to the good memories, and just as every Canadian is. And so fortunate and learned so much from him. And I can't wait to share the show with the family and tell them all about it. I'm really glad we had this chance, Russ. You were fantastic as usual, and God bless Walter and all the Gretzky's. Tough days ahead.
Yeah. You can imagine the week I've had because when Walter and Wayne did the Tim Hortons commercial.
Oh God! Speaking of crying,
it brought me to my knees bawling. So this week has been tough, but I just keep watching because I just keep watching. And I keep listening, and I didn't post anything on Instagram because I haven't found a picture of Walter and I, and so I was going to post something, and then I thought, you know what, sometimes you just don't need to post, but the people who it's phenomenal, and anybody out there who has stuff, keep it coming, because I think that a life like this that's been lived, we want to hear I think everybody wants to hear more stories that people have. So anybody with special Walter stories, just keep them coming, because I think that for the Gretzky family is a beautiful thing. I don't think they'll ever get tired of hearing some stories that they've never heard about. So I think it's important to keep somebody like this, in our memories and in our daily memories, because I think that he influenced thousands of people, and maybe this is going to help him influence even more because of the outpouring love for him is going to, you know, help somebody maybe turn their life around and start giving more of themselves to their family and friends and their community. And I we can all learn from what Walter Gretzky did in his life and how he lived his life.
Yeah, you know, I don't know if the government would ever do it, but if they don't, I hope someone comes up with a Walter Gretzky Day, you know, as a holiday or an afternoon or something. You know, there's three generations, right, of Gretzky's going backwards from Walter. There, of course, there's Walter. And then there's, you know, Wayne and Kim, Keith, Brent, and Glenn. And now there's grandchildren. Mm-hmm. You know, Wayne's kids and his brothers and sisters have children. And on our show, we've been lucky enough. Our 50th show was with Wayne, and it would make sense, as you pointed out to me. I'm saying, when should we have him on again? You went, well, maybe 99 would be a good time. We'll try and do that. But we also had Ty on.
Yeah.
Ty, and I forget what show number it is, but it's before we had his dad on, and you'll get an idea of the impact that Walter had on certainly his son and certainly his kids. So, Rusty, thanks a million, man. God bless Walter and everybody else who's been affected by his death, which are many people, and we'll be back again. We'd love for you to give us a comment at the suspendables.com is our website. All the shows are up there. And you can tune into my famous twalking videos. I took some time off out of respect to Walter, but I'll get back at it this week.
And our email is?
thesuspendables@yahoo.com.
Woo!
I finally got it. Okay.
Attaboy.
Have a good rest of the week, everybody. Rusty, you go back. As my daughter says, Dad, yeah, sorry to interrupt you. Just go back to doing nothing.
Yeah.
Okay?
Hot tub and a cigar.
There we go. Have a good week, Rusty. We'll talk to everyone next week. You've been listening to The Suspendables with me, Jungle Jim Jerome, and, of course, him, Russ Courtney.
The Suspendables is a weekly podcast series featuring former NHLer Russ Courtnell and host Jim Jerome. Join us for new episodes available each Wednesday morning. Follow us on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, and YouTube. We invite you to subscribe and review or share the show with your friends and followers. Check out our website today, thesuspendables.com.